Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 488. We'll begin with the 9th verse and read through verse 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 9 through 16 in your Schofield Bible, page 488. We'll read the verses responsively. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to give thee, and house for thine holy name, cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. And let's pray. Father, we're here today because we chose to be here. We're thankful for this great gathering of our people. We're thankful for those who visit with us. We pray that thou wouldst do a great and mighty work in our hearts and lives today. Give us hearts that are yielded to the hearing and the doing of thy word. Grant thy power and blessing upon our preacher, and help that this service will be a significant one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every Sunday when I preach, go back to my office on Sunday night, I take just a few minutes and look at my sermon outlines, and I wonder if maybe I can preach something like that, can sort of change it a little bit and preach it in my engagements around the country. I never get a new sermon for where I preach around the country. It's always an overhauled one that I've have reconstructed from a sermon here that will apply more for a conference rather than a pastoral kind of application, but the same truth. I had planned to preach two sermons much alike last Sunday morning and this morning. I've still continued to do that. And my message this morning will be a continuation and a little overlapping, not much, of my message last Sunday morning. I got the message, and as you know, I don't prepare a sermon for a Sunday. I've got a whole file of sermons, 40 or 50, 60 of them all outlined in my file now that I haven't preached. I think if you knew what you're going to get, you really would be disappointed. You'd better get mad before I preach it. But these two sermons I had planned to preach consecutively because they're along the same line. A little underlining of last week's sermon and a little different approach with the same subject. Well, I got it all prepared a week or two ago and decided to work on it a little more last Friday up in Michigan. And I got so excited about it, I couldn't wait, so I preached it Friday night. And so you're going to get one that's warmed over today. It was made for you, but I got all excited about it and preached it on Friday night. I want to preach this morning on the subject, we get to give. We don't give to get. We get to give. We don't give to get. I'm going to put my finger this morning on the two types of Christianity. Let me give you a little outline I didn't give Friday night. The three stages of growth concerning giving. Number one, by nature, we get to keep. That's most of us. We get to keep. Then we grow a little bit, and somebody says, if we'll give, we can get more to keep. Usually that guy's on television, some kind of a guy with a wife that 75 trying to look like she's 16. I've never seen any of them, but I've heard about it. And I've seen that one hussy, I'll tell you what. But anyway, you know who I'm talking about. And so I'll quit if you will. But anyway, they say you give to get. And then, by the way, that is a biblical truth. Of course, you don't always have to give to them. You can plant your seed somewhere else besides in their yard. But but that's biblical. Give and it shall be given to you, Luke 6:38, Malachi 3:8 through 10. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may meet my house, said the Lord, and prove me now herewith, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room to receive. And that is a truth. But that's kindergarten truth. That's not graduate study truth. So the first step is you give to get. I'm sorry, you get to keep. You get to keep. Then somebody says, if you'll give some of that, God will give you a lot more. And then you give to get. Now, there's a third step, graduate study step, and that is you get to give. You get to give. As a selfish, carnal person, we get to keep. Then we start giving selfishly. And many of our stewardship campaigns across the country in church, we don't have them here. We just say you don't tithe, you're not right with God. But our stewardship campaign, people get up and say, oh, I tell you, I decided to tithe. And since I decided to tithe, God has tripled my salary. We now have a big $500,000 home, and I got a promotion. Well, when my mother decided to tithe, we starved to death. You're not supposed to tithe to get a promotion. You're supposed to tithe to obey God. But a little enticement there, and there's nothing wrong with it if you're a baby Christian. But if you're a mature Christian, you go beyond that, and you get to give. Let me explain what I mean. I'm going to preach my little silent sermon. I do it quite often here. I'm going to preach my little silent sermon. Put this up just a tad. And be sure and check the treble for me. Here's my silent sermon. And here's what most Christians pray. I won't say a word. I'm just going to preach my silent sermon and you watch me. By the way, the service will not be over when I finish my silent sermon. I have an unsilent sermon I plan to preach when I finish my silent sermon. But here it is. Here's the way modern Christianity does. Well, let me say this. Here's the way God wants us to do it. I'll show you. That's the scripture plan. We get to give. Now here's the way modern Christianity teaches it. Turn on your average heathen charismatic evangelist on television, and he says you give to get. You give. And by the way, the average pastor preaches tithing that way. You give to get. Now, we have taught give to get, but God says you get to give. You don't give so you can get. You get so you can give. You see, I'm only the messenger boy. I'm the delivery boy. I go get it from God, and I'm supposed to take it and give it to somebody else. And then I go back and I get some more, like I said last Sunday morning. But the thing I'm hitting this morning is this. You don't give so you can get. You get so you can give. In the text read this morning, David, King David, was facing the last years of his reign. God told David to collect the materials
for the building of the temple. As you know, David was taken by death, and Solomon actually constructed the temple, and it's called Solomon's Temple. But David was the one who collected the materials for the building of the temple. He collected, the Bible says, gold and silver and brass and precious stone and marble and wood and iron and onyx stone. All of this he collected for the building of the house of God, what we call Solomon's temple. Now all of this is collected. And David looks at the silver and the gold and the onyx stones, the precious stone, the marble, the wood, and the iron. And David looks at all of it. And David said, we did not first initiate this by giving this to you, God, because this is what you gave to us. And David said, all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So the act of giving is not started by our giving. The act of giving is started by our receiving. So David said, God, we're not giving you this so we can go back over and get something. It's time you outgrew that kind of garbage. It's time you realize that you get to give. You don't give to get. So David said, Lord, this is from you. Giving does not start with us. We give to God, then God gives to us. No, the giving starts with God. God gives to us, and then we give what God gives to us. Now, Luke 11, 5 and 6, the story of the man who had a friend, and he wanted to beg his friend for some bread. He comes to a friend and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves, because I'm hungry. No, he doesn't say that. Lend me 3 loaves, because my family is hungry. He doesn't say that. He said, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. He's saying, Lord, you give to me so I can give to him. Now, you say, well, the house, isn't it true that God gives to you, and you give to God, and God gives to you, and you give, and God gives, and you give? That's true. What I want to stress this morning, it doesn't start with you giving to God so God will give back to you. It starts with God giving to you so you can give it back to Him and give it to somebody else. That's the purpose of it all. Now, modern Christianity says, give to get. God says, you get to give. Modern Christianity says, you give love to get love. If you'll give your love, you'll have people loving you. Now, that's not Bible Christianity. Bible Christianity is not selfish. I'll love you if you'll give me somebody to love me. I'm supposed to love if nobody loves me. God gives me love, and I take it over, and I give it to you. And God gives me love, and I take it over, and I give it to you. When God gives me love, I take it over and I give it to you. And I'll get you some after a while. But I'm simply saying that the whole ordeal, the entire unit starts with God giving and I give. And that finishes it. And then God gives and I give. It doesn't start with me giving, so God will give to me. I'm not supposed to keep anything. It flows through me, like I said last week. It flows through me like it flows through a conduit. Like water flows through a pipe, like a river flows through the banks. I'm supposed to get in order that I might give. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going out and eat worms. Go ahead. I'll provide them for you. If you, listen to me, if you will forget being loved. Now listen to me carefully. If you'll forget being loved, if you'll forget whether you have a friend or not, your job is to take the love of God and deliver it for Him. Your job is to take true friendship from God and deliver it for Him. That's your job. The whole world, the whole modern stupid psychiatric world, psychiatric, I can't even say it, much less do it, but the whole, this modern Christianity, I'm talking about the James Dobsons, you know what I'm talking about. All this Christianity. If you're loved, you'd be loved. It doesn't matter whether I'm loved or not. I'm supposed to take the love of God and take it to a world that's unloved and go back and get some more and take it to a world that's unloved. I haven't got time to think whether I'm loved or not. Boy, if you'd listen, you'd learn something. The whole concept of modern Christianity is wacky. We The modern world says, if you'll give joy, you'll get joy. Let me tell you something. I don't have time to know whether I'm happy or not. I'll tell you a story. A fellow gave me the other day a sum of money. I was out of town. I'll tell you how much it was. I don't want you to know. It's a lot of money. A lot of money. It's over $50. A lot of money. He asked me to take that money to give it to somebody else. I had all of that money in my pocket. Now, he said, I took it. Suppose it was you that did it. You wouldn't do it, you skin flint. That's why God's judged you. But, now, let's suppose it was $250,000. It wasn't. I took that money, and I'm going to give it over here to Mr. Bob O'Clair, is the guy I'm going to give it to. And I'm going to give it to Bob. Now, I'm on the way. Guess what I got in my hands? $250,000. Am I going to keep it? No, but I sure am enjoying having it while I'm delivering it. So I take that money over here, and I delivered it. It wasn't to Bob O'Clair, but I delivered it. That's my job. Boy, when I saw him get it, wow. Now, that's my job as a child of God. I want to be loved, but that's not what I'm here for. And I'm not supposed to love so I can get loved, and I'm not supposed to be a friend so I can have somebody be a friend of me. That's child stuff. That's kindergarten stuff. But I am supposed to bring joy. I get joy from God, and I take it, and I give that joy, and I get more joy from God, and I take it, and I give joy. The whole concept of graduate study in Christianity is not I give to get, but I get to give. It's the whole purpose of it all. Modern stuff says you do good to get good. Graduate study says you get good to do good. Well, I'm going to help others because if I help others, I'll get helped. That's okay. For the first year you're saved. This time some of you folks have been saved 10, 15, 20 years, decided you're not going to think about the good that comes to you, but the good that comes to somebody else. Lend me 3 loaves, because I'm hungry. No, sir. Lend me 3 loaves, because there's somebody hungry here. There's some people over here that need loving. Oh, God, give me love. And God says, here it is. Take it over and give it to them. Oh, God, there's some people over here in this great Chicago area that are sad and depressed and defeated and hungry and friendless. Oh, God, help them. God says, come over here. I'll give you some joy. And that's why some of you folks don't like my preaching, because you haven't got enough joy to understand it. And that's why you come and criticize our church. Some guy jumps up and says, hallelujah. So I don't believe in that. No, I wouldn't either if I was in your shape. But there's some of us that are not trying to get joy and not trying to get love and not trying to get good. We're delivery boys taking love and giving it out and taking joy and giving it out and taking good and giving it out. We don't give to get. We get to give. You know, we hear a lot about the law of sowing and reaping. And that's good kindergarten stuff. But the best law is the law of reaping and sowing. I reap so I can sow. I get so I can give. Let me give you 7 observations. One, it all starts with getting, not giving. The unit is not give so you can get. It's get so you can give. If you ever learn this, you'll be as happy as a June bug on the last day of May. I promise you, you will. And some of you sitting there right now, unhappy, well, you know why? Because you get to keep. You get to keep. You get to, and others of you, you give to get, and you didn't get, so you're grapping. This didn't work. I'm giving my tithe. Did you ever study Malachi 3, 8 through 10? God said, bring you all the tithe. He's talking there not about money, because they didn't have money like we have today. He's talking about a tithe of your barley, a tithe of your corn, a tithe of your wheat. Hear me carefully now. God said, I will give you your barley, your corn, your wheat. I'll give you rain. I'll give you a good harvest. Now your job is to get that what I give you and take it over here and give. Then he said, don't leave me now. Then he said, I'll make it so you'll get some more to give. Then will I open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. That's rain. God said, if you will take what I've given to you and give... Now, he's not saying, take what I've given to you and you go give it, then I'll give you some more so you can pocket it. He's saying, take what I've given to you so you can go give it, so I'll give you some more so you can go give it. Observations. One, it starts with getting. Two, the unit ends with giving. Three, then a new process starts of getting again and giving again. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Number three. Number four. Each process, we get more because God finds He can trust us with more. God gives me, He gives me $100. Give me $100 right now. I mean the real thing. God gives me $100. So I get to give, right? I get to give. And so I give it. God said, I believe I can trust Him now with 150. So God gives me 150. So I can pocket it, then it won't keep coming. But if I give that 150, God says, now I'll trust Him with 200 to give. All in the world that is, you're the delivery boy, and God will trust you with more merchandise if He knows you don't keep the merchandise. Whether it's money, whether it's love, whether it's joy, whether it's good deeds. I want to tell you something. These people that call, listen to me carefully, these people that call First Baptist Church shallow, or say shallow, they can't even touch the bottom. Oh, these deeper lifers, if you will give, God will give to you, and you'll have abundance, and you'll have a $1 million car and a $2 million salary if you'll just give to God. Hey, you missed the whole purpose of giving. You don't get give to get, you get to give. I did some figuring this week. You know how much money? Russell Anderson's in my crowd Friday night. I called him a pauper. I imagine Russell's worth about $8-10 million. I said, Russell, old buddy, you penury welfare recipient, do you know how much money has gone through my hands? I said, through my hands. I said, through my hands. Over one third of $1 billion. Think about that. Man, I wish I'd have kept some of it. Boy, I'm an old man. I blew it. Mrs. Howes right now is slobbering, drooling. But thanks be to God Almighty, I didn't keep it. It passed through me. You don't give to get. That's selfishness. You get to give. Observation number five. God continues to increase our getting if we continue to increase our giving. And then a statement I made last week in my sermon, God does not give to us, God gives through us. I'm just the delivery boy. Let me illustrate. 47 years ago, when I stood to preach, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, 14, 15, 16, less than this one section here of sopranos was my entire congregation. Little old country church, and I've told you about it, and I won't believe you to tell you about it again, but we're out in the sticks. poor. I gave those people all the love I had. All the love I had. I took the love that God had given me. And I didn't, listen, one thing wrong with a lot of pastors, they're wanting their people to love them. That's the big goal. That's wonderful to be loved, but my job is to give you love. And I gave love to that little country church. I went to the church a little bit larger, and God gave me more love, and I gave it to them. Until now, these thousands of people who come every week in this great First Baptist Church of Hammond, I'm giving you the love that God gives me, but God gave me more love now than He used to give me, because God can trust me with His love without me being selfish and giving it so I can get it. Years ago, I was pastor in Garland, Texas. Had a fellow named Tom Landers. He was an evangelist. In fact, he followed me at the church there. Tom Landers came to Hammond, Indiana. I didn't even know where Hammond, Indiana was. I just knew it was probably where they made Hammond organs. They don't. They make Sut in Hammond, Indiana. But Tom Landers came to First Southern Baptist Church over here on Hoffman Street and preached a revival for 2 weeks. He came back home and he said, "Brother Jack, I want to take you out to eat." He took me down to Harris Restaurant. He said, "Brother Jack, do me a favor. Would you be willing to, if I got your invitation to go up to Hammond, Indiana, would you be willing to go up there for a couple of weeks?" I get it. He said, "Brother Jack, I don't know anybody who enjoys life as much as you do." And he's right. I'm 68 years old. I enjoy life more than some of you 16-year-old kids do. He said, "You know what Hammond, Indiana needs? If you'd go up there for 2 weeks, just cheer that place up. For 2 weeks." Some of you folks that are visiting this morning, I'd like to take about 2 decades and cheer you up. Maybe 2 millenniums. Or I'll pray that you'll get cheered up during the tribulation. But anyway, he said, "Brother Jack, if I could get you invited to a church in Hammond, Indiana, would you go up there and preach? If you'd go 2 weeks." He said, "Those poor people up there, it's snow on the ground all winter, below zero, and folks, it's on the way. And they work in those steel mills and those factories up there," and he says, "it's the armpit of America." He had never seen Sibley Street and how beautiful it is. He said, "If you'd go for 2 weeks." I said, "Sure, I'll go up there for a couple of weeks and I'll preach up there and try to cheer those folks up in Hammond." Little did I know that I'd spend 35 years up in Hammond. And may I tell you the truth? Brother Hiles has spread joy for 35 years. And when I spread joy in that little country place in East Texas, those poor little people living not even in indoor toilets. One guy, as I've told you, had a telephone. He's deaf and couldn't hear it ring. One lady could play the piano. She could play one song, and that was "Old Rugged Cross." Thank God Miss Colson can play three. But I cheered those people up. And God said, "I'll give him more joy." And I took it and I gave it away. And God gave me a bundle of joy. And there are people in this room this morning that are here for one main reason. They're here because it's the only place they laugh in their whole week. And these pious prudes that criticize laughter in church ought to read Psalm 126, 5 and 1. "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter." And that's ha, 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 ha. When you realize, praise God, when you realize that you've been delivered from the bondage of sin and you're God's child and you're on your way to the promised land, it'll make you laugh a little bit. I'm trying to say what this old area needs is a group of believers like First Baptist Church of Hammond that come here and get joy from God and take it out here and spread it all over this great area. The only real lasting joy is a joy God can give. I want to be happy. Brother Claire, my wife and I'm getting divorced from my wife. It's going to spread all over the country. She's not meeting my needs. God didn't save you to have your needs met. God saved you to meet other people's needs. "Well, if you'll give, you'll get." No, sir. That's not it. That's beginner stuff. You don't give It's not like this. You don't give to get. You get to give. And that's down in East Texas. Started out. All about the only truths I knew was that Roman Road Plan of Salvation. I had two sermons. One was against movies and the other was against cigarettes. I'd preach against movies on Sunday morning and cigarettes on Sunday night. I like to have a variety. So the next week I preach cigarettes Sunday morning and movies on Sunday night. We're sort of hillbilly, but we had enough sense not to pray for Ted Kennedy to get thrown out on his ear. Especially if you don't have any power in prayer. I lost all confidence in Bill Grady's prayer life. You heard him right here, didn't you? Ask God to throw Ted Kennedy out on his ear, right? Did God do it? Take me off your prayer list. But I didn't go to college, Bible college and seminary, and sit there and pick up and learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and learn. No, sir. What little I knew, I delivered. You check my books. On Holy Spirit, my book on Holy Spirit, book on prayer, my book on salvation, my book on separation, my book on justice, my book on the church, and you'll find out that God has given this preacher some great truths to deliver to America. I said to deliver. But some of you people have been sitting learning truths for 50 years and haven't delivered one yet. God does not give you truth so you can get. God gives you truth so you can give. So, I've spent a life getting to give. I'm not boasting, because I have nothing to boast about. When David said this about the stuff, materials for the temple, he said, to God be the glory. Not to the giver be the glory, but the real giver be the glory. To God be the glory. I have nothing to glory in, except the fact I've been pretty smart. I've been smart enough to deliver. I've been smart enough not to keep it. I'll get a truth from God, and I almost bust till I get up here. Sometimes, it's Friday. I say, God, let's skip Saturday this week. You know why? Because I get it. To give it. When I get my hands on some money. I can't wait till offering time. So I can give God a dollar of it. I can't wait till offering time. When I go to God and get love and my heart is filled with love, I don't want to keep it. I want to go spread it. When I get joy, I want to give it. If you would learn this truth this morning, it would transform your entire life. Concerning salvation, it's the same way. If you will give Jesus your heart, and if you'll work and earn it and give, He'll give you eternal life. You got it backwards. He gives you eternal life, and then you work with all your heart. This crowd of people, and most of them call themselves deeper lifers, haven't got enough sense to go soul winning or enough obedience. I'm saying they do not understand the whole idea of giving. The whole idea of giving is not, now I get, I've given, I won't get rich. I can testify on Robert Shuler's program now. Oral Roberts. Because I'm going to go over here and I'm going to stand up and say, since I started tithing, my income has quadrupled. Some of you folks, since you started tithing, you got fired. They have missed the whole concept of the Christian life. The whole concept. The whole concept is, Dear God, lend me love, for a friend of mine, his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Lend me joy, for a friend of mine is sad, and his journey has come to me, and I have no joy of myself to set before him. Lend me some money, for a friend of mine, his journey has come to me, and I have nothing of my own to set before him. Lend me some good works, so I can go to my friend who's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. If you'll ever get to the place in your life to where you'll quit getting to keep, that's one step up. But if you ever get to the place in your life you don't give to get, but you get to give. I have nothing this morning stuck on my hands. I have nothing stuck on my hands. I have delivered over $350 million. I have delivered a third of $1 billion. Some of you wealthy people, quit looking down your snoot at me. Snotty snoot. Quit looking down. Because I've made more than you have. Only difference in you and me, I didn't give it to get it. I got it to give it. I have no extra love on my hands this morning. Nor do I go around saying, I wish somebody would love me. I'm too busy trying to deliver the love that God has given me. I have no extra joy on my hands this morning. Nor am I trying to be happy. I haven't been to a psychologist in several hours. I wouldn't give you a dime for the whole bunch of them. You say, well, now, you're sort of peculiar. I know this Bible Christianity is peculiar. I have no extra joy stuck to my hands. I just come to God and say, dear God, give me some joy. I got some people that need it. And I just deliver what God has given to me. I close where I started, a silent sermon. I ask you, which one is you? You. Are you the conduit? The banks which water flows? The pipe through which the water flows? Do you get to give? Or do you give to get? People who preach salvation by works get the same philosophy that people who give to get. You give and you earn salvation. Same philosophy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I learned years ago that I get to give. Our Heavenly Father, I sure would like for some of this to rub off on somebody. There's some folks this morning sitting in the seat of the scornful course. There are others this morning whose eyes have been opened. The light has been turned on. The sun has risen. They now see the purpose of it all. And there's some this morning who still give selfishly to get. Oh my God, give me a group of people who get to give.